Today we're going to be talking about our relationship with the Great Mother and how we incorporate her into our daily lives. I'm talking about a relationship beyond your neighbor sitting next to you. I plan to talk about rock, dirt, sky, sun, plant, beyond the flesh to include those with fur, scale, and feather. In fact, today's service was inspired by one of our living traditions, which celebrate the sacred circle of life and instruct us to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature. Now, my goal for today, for you all, is to walk out of this church and feel slightly different when you pass each and every one of those plants as you go to your car. You can give them a little shake, greet them, but I want you to feel slightly different. Perhaps some of you might even begin a new path when you leave the church today. Much of you might feel like this gentleman here, Siddhartha. He was a gentleman who went on a path for enlightenment. And he recalls the first moment of enlightenment. He looked around and he saw the world for the first time. The world was beautiful, strange and mysterious. Here was blue. There was yellow. Here was green. Sky, river, woods, and mountains. All of this, all this yellow, this blue, the river, the wood, passed for the first time across Siddhartha's eyes. It was no longer meaningless for him. I too have felt that when I go hiking. There are times when you get in the right frame of mind when you go hiking, and what happens, I might pass a tree, but I don't pass a tree. I pass a tree. I just don't cross a meadow. I cross a meadow. I just don't see the weeds growing. I see weeds growing. And I know I'm in the right place when I'm doing this service, because I recall, maybe it might have been my first or second time visiting this church, it had rained. And I was crossing the parking lot, and in the parking lot was full of worms. Worms everywhere. Well, oh my God, these worms. The sun was coming up. I thought, no way are these worms are going to survive. They're going to get stepped on. They're going to get dried up by the sun. When we're driving out with our cars, we're going to run over these poor worms. So I started picking them up and throw them into the garden. In a few minutes, there's a woman named Leah came out. And you all know Leah. Good morning. What you doing? My name is Leah. I said, well, my name is Lori. And look at all these worms. They're not going to survive. Leah then bent down and started picking up worms and chucking them in the garden. A few minutes later, a gentleman named Roy came out. We all know Roy. Calm, cool, explanation for everything, brings down the panic. He said, what are you doing? I said, oh, these worms. We're throwing them back in the garden. And mind you, there were hundreds of worms. Roy, in his non-panicked voice, said, you know, that's what they'll do. That's what worms do. When it rains, they leave the soil. So during refreshments, we got to hunt down Roy and find out why do they do that. Now, some of you might be asking, how do I create a relationship with a rock? How do I recreate a relationship with a plant, with dirt? Well, you know what? We've already started by calling in Gaia. Gaia is the earth goddess. We're internalizing what she symbolizes. Gaia does mean earth. She's Earth Mother, Mother Earth, the Great Mother, Mother Nature. She's a mother of all life. In fact, she's even a mother of herself. In the beginning of time, when it was just chaos, she created herself. So in her womb, all life sprang. Now, Gaia is known more as Earth than as actually a Greek goddess. She personifies Earth. She is Earth. She continuously works on achieving and maintaining harmony, wholeness, and balance in nature. Her symbol is the python. The python represents ever-renewing. She represents healing, nurturing, life and death. In fact, in the pagan world, there's a chant we do. We all come from the mother, and to her we shall return like a drop of rain flowing to the ocean. Pagans used to do three times. We all come from the mother, and to her we shall return like a drop of rain flowing to the ocean. We all come from the mother, and to her we shall return like a drop of rain flowing to the ocean. Now there's another way to establish a relationship, all organic matter. We can begin to look at this organic matter as family. People in a different form. This book here is called The 13 Original Clan Women. And it's written by Jamie Sams. She's a member of the Wolf Clan Teaching Lodge. And she spent time with two Kiowa grandmothers. Undocumented, but she believed they were at least 120 years old. And she sat with these grandmothers, Sissy Laughing Crow and Berta Broken Arrow. And they talked about each clan woman, 13, each represents a moon, a month. The 13th is when they all pull together. Each of the clan mothers reflect a particular teaching relating to a cycle of the moon. And they possess special totems and talents and gifts that they share with one and all. They share with you. Today I'm going to bring up the first clan woman. Her name is Talks With Relations. She's in the first moon, which would be January. She is the keeper of truth. She teaches us how to understand unspoken languages, kinship with all life forms, and how to honor cycles in the seasons. She speaks about the planetary family, tree people, cloud people, rock people, creatures that are teachers, and all other living forms as brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles. We have four clan chiefs: air, fire, water, earth. We have grandmother moon and grandfather sun. We may experience a flower, a flowing creek, yes, even a bug, a spider, a snail, an ant. They could be one of our greatest teachers. In fact, here's an example. When I signed up to do this service, I took a walk in between rainstorms and thought, what have I done? Who am I? Well, I can't do this. Wait. I don't know why I think I can do this. Just then, one lightning bolt, one thunder, boom, Brother Thunder took me by my shoulders and shook me. What is the matter with you? Buck up. You can do this. Brother Thunder shook the doubt right out of me. I finished my walk and I finished my sermon. I also like to go to Garin Park. And there is a grove of eucalyptus trees I sit among. And I call that my coven of wooden sisters. And I sit with them. And what my wooden sisters have taught me was, be strong, stand upright, extend your arms, palms up. Receive the sun's gift, embracing the warmth, light that connects us all. Coil your roots deep in the soil. Ground yourself. Do not allow the winds of deceit to lessen and weaken your hold. Now these trees talked. One would creak and moan. One creak and moan. One over here creak and moan. The leaves would chatter. And if there's a slight breeze, you know, look, eucalyptus trees, they have the bark that shed and they rattle. Now, if I can put words to what these trees were telling me, this is what I would say. They say, speak like us. Speak with subtlety. Listen with intent. Love with honesty. Be true to yourself and to the ones growing around you. I don't know if you all are, some of you are early birds, but I highly recommend this, is that it might happen 2 or 3 times a year. The full grandmother moon, the full moon, and the sun are up in the sky at the same time. Incredible. I go down to the Hayward shoreline, bundle up, sit with grandmother moon. We both sit and wait, and there comes grandfather sun. Truly, you get a feeling this is a love affair that lasted for the beginning of time. Moments they get to spend together before Grandmother Moon disappears. I can't tell you how often that, but I think it's 2 or 3 times a year. And I think it's in the winter months because I know I bundle up. But you get a credible sense of magical happenings with the moon and the sun and the sky at the same time. I leave each time I go with a sense of deep trust in the world. There is a woman in my garden club, and she grows a beautiful garden, flowers and vegetables. What she does, and she grows out of love. She grows, that's her spirituality, she grows the garden. And what she does, before she plants a seed, she puts the seeds in her mouth. She shares herself with the seeds. So when she grows her garden, she's growing love. There's another thing I do when I go for a walk. I look for the colors in nature. And these colors I look for in particular represent the chakras we have in our body. There's 7 main ones, and they're energy centers. And they help us balance in our life. Each chakra represents something that they help us balance in. And they're lined up along our spine. The first one is red. That grounds us. Sometimes we might feel a little flitty, or heavy steps. We work on that energy center. The next one is orange. That's in our pelvic region. That's where we give life. That's where we have intimacy. Then it's yellow, kind of mid-gut. That represents control. We have one up by our heart. It's green. That represents love. We have one by in our throat. That's light blue. That represents voice of truth. Mid-forehead, dark blue, intuition. And crowning, a light purple. That represents enlightenment. I don't know if you all know me well enough, but I do have some control issues. So I'm always working with yellow. My thought is, boy, if you just think what I think, we all be fine.
If you just do what I do, we'll all be happy.
Very controlling, by the way. So I found myself one time up at Garen Park. I was going to fly a kite. And I was dealing with some control issues. I found myself sitting on top of a green hill in the middle of a yellow mustard field, flying a kite against light blue sky. And if you guys flown a kite, boy, they really fight, especially if they get a good wind. And all they telling you, cut the string, set me free, let me go. Talk about control. So I compromised. Compromise. Yeah, I guess I could do that. Compromise. The kite wants to go to the right or flutter to the left. Have at it. You want to go up, you want to go down and dip. Have at it. Compromise. Thought about that when my controlling issues. Compromise. So what's so great about all of this is that you guys will find your own truth, your own rhythm. You will personalize your relationship. What a flower means to me will mean very different to you. I found my rhythm and my truth, and I'm honored to share it with you. Behind me are some photographs. This one here, you may not know what it is. It's an eye of a rhinoceros. I took the picture. It's a mother rhinoceros. At the moment when I took the picture, she was looking down at her baby. So when I look at this sister rhinoceros, she teaches me deep love. Behind me is a droplet of rain blown up. That teaches me there is life within life. Next to me is, if there's a glare, then you all come up after the service, take a peek. This one here is a flower, the center of a flower. It was during our really bad drought times, and it was a light rain. I went out and took a picture. And in the center of this flower looks like fingers. And there's a drop of rain coming into the fingers. The flower is catching the drop of rain. That taught me the Great Mother does take care of us. In contemporary science, there is a theory about Earth. Soil, water, atmosphere, living creatures all together create an intricate, self-regulating system, a conscious, living entity. When we say that, that is Gaia. That is us. So one fun thing about Gaia is that you guys can just enjoy. There is what we call a Feast of Gaia. Some of you might experience it during holidays. The Feast of Gaia is when you invite friends and family over and ask them to bring their favorite dish. Don't worry about calories. You're not going to worry about cholesterol. You're going to eat. You're going to feast. You're going to eat with love. You're going to eat with joy. You're going to appreciate every bite. Now, don't gorge yourself and overeat, nor can you do this every night, but enjoy the moment. And while you all are feasting, ask each participant to talk about their attachment with their meal. And then you do, you would begin to open up to your extended family. And at that moment, you may feel like Siddhartha for the first time. I have one more closure. I have one teeny tiny little book, but very big important words in this. It's called Poets of the Spirit, Native American Inspiration. This one here is written by Chief Seattle. The earth is our mother. Whatever befalls on the earth befalls on the sons and daughters of the earth. Another one I wanted to share with you is a Chippewa prayer. Sacred one, Teach us love, compassion, and honor, that we may heal the earth and heal each other. Blessed be.